Welcome everyone to the HB Global Employee Ownership Podcast Series. Today we are talking about radical autonomy, and Bob and Stacy will be answering some of the questions that have come up from the recent rollout about radical autonomy. So today we have with us CEO of HB Global, Bob Whalen, and Senior Vice President of People and Culture, Stacy Baum. Just a few housekeeping items before we get started. We recognize that this podcast is available to the general public, but we just want to say that the views expressed in are in the context of HB Global and may not apply to broader audiences. With that, Stacy, take it away.
Bob, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about some recent messaging you've done to our team members around radical autonomy. So that's something that is, autonomy is not new in your messaging to the organization. The rollout concept of radical autonomy is. And I've gotten some feedback from some of the employees that there's a little bit of confusion around what does it really mean from the intent and how it impacts them. And if it is contrary to or conflicting with the way their teams at different divisions are actually rolling out process. So that's a little bit about what I want to talk with you today.
Okay. There's a lot built into that. So let me just start with a few things. First of all, let me just talk about, I know our mission as a business is twofold. It's to create value and a great place to work. Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, and the data proves this out, that autonomy is a really important part of you having satisfaction in your job. You want to control your day and what you do to the extent possible. So that's really where it started. And then I want to give credit where credit is due. I've been pushed by multiple people on the executive staff, but in particular, Tom, when he was CFO, and Sal, is that, Bob, autonomy's great, but people have to execute, and that's where we tied this concept together into not only giving the autonomy, but clearly articulating that when autonomy is granted on something or you take autonomy, that you are expected to execute on that as well. And so that was really why we started to put a framework around this, was really to combine some things that were important to me and also recognize there was aspects that were left out and were being, used in certain situations that did not, fully articulate what's expected of each employee. And so that's how we got to this idea of radical autonomy. And I think that it's really important that we combine both of those. We want to move decision-making into the organization to the furthest extent we can. So as close to the customer as we possibly can on decisions about how things are done and what is done. But at the same time, recognizing that it's very important that we execute on, whatever we're setting out to do. And so that's how it got started. That was the, what was built around it. And so that's what we're articulating, as we talk about radical autonomy.
I think it also ties back to our mission of empowering our employees. So
yeah,
needs.
It definitely ties into empowering our employees, and it also ties into our growth core value of giving employees opportunities to grow, so take on new things, do that. Yeah. But also the aspect of the growth core value that's about the organization and growing the organization. And if we're going to grow and thrive and take on more things as an organization, we need more people, that are able to do those things effectively, so it allows the organization to scale. And like the example I would use, for that is, at one point I was a division president. Well, as we had multiple divisions, all of a sudden it was required, that somebody was responsible for those multiple divisions. And we needed division presidents at each one of those locations, hopefully better than the one before. And I can guarantee you they are, But that's part of what we're trying to do through autonomy is to scale the organization, have more people to be able to do it. Because a problem with big organizations is around there being bottlenecks that are created because people want to control. Even if you are the very best decision maker at whatever you're holding, you know, close to the best, there's only so much time in the day. And, you know, even if I was the best decision maker as a division president, there is no way with 10 divisions, you know, that I could make those very best decisions and have time to do what would have to be done to make those. You need that to be through the organization. And I can guarantee you I'm not that person. But if I were, you still wouldn't have the time in the day to do it. And that's, you know, why I think autonomy is really important.
I like the comments around avoiding bottlenecks. I think it is really important to our business, not just where we are today, but for the future. And even around sharing that knowledge that you have to help grow our workforce. So grow the skill set. There's always new employees entering the organization, sharing that, giving them some clear direction and flexibility where you can.
Yeah, I think, you know, most people want that. You know, they want that flexibility to do those things. And I think it's just really important, you know, that we articulate and communicate between, you know, an employee and their supervisor about, you know, where that decision is going to make, you know, what are the parameters of that decision. We give, you know, a lot of autonomy to our division presidents to make decisions on what they invest in, you know, where they're going to spend their money. But there is a threshold that over and above, you know, that they've got to give approval. Now, we're not in the habit of when our division presidents have a need and rejecting those things. But it is part of our process that there is a threshold for that decision making. And that really, it may not be as formalized in every single thing. You know, one of the things, you know, that we talked about is what if you have a collision on a job site, you know, of the plan of where the ductwork's supposed to go and, you know, a beam. Well, in special projects, you don't have anybody to go to. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself for sure. On a bigger construction job or a industry that has more regulation, you may have to, you know, run that up the flagpole to engineering. And in fact, there are bottlenecks in those situations, but you're required to do it. And so they can be different in different situations, but it works best if we have good communication. Right. You know, within the organization, to make that work.
So, Bob, you've shared before as an individual employee in your career, autonomy was really important to you.
Yes.
And you just shared today also the importance of execution. Yeah. I think both of those go hand in hand. So I really like joining them together in today's discussion. Can you share a story from early in your career?
I can. It's a little embarrassing, okay. but true. You know, when I was in college, I worked for a company, College Propaners. And so you had a bunch of college kids that got contracts to paint houses. And so the lead on each one of those houses had the autonomy, you know, you basically, you know, knew, what you were painting and, you know, how many hours were in there and the materials that you had to do the job. But other than that, you basically, you know, had the autonomy to do it in whatever manner you wanted with the crew you had. And of course, you know, I do now love autonomy, and I loved it then, but I was not very skilled at exerting that autonomy. And I just remember this one house we painted is we were way over hours. We were all over the place. We would do this part and then that part and then jump back over here and do that. And they're out checking the job when it's all over, and we have a whole faucet that hadn't been painted and all of that stuff. And that's where the second piece of this. Yes, I had the autonomy to do that however I wanted. We had training on what the best practices were relative to how you go about organizing your day on that job. But I decided not to follow it because of, you know, wanting to decide how to do this myself. And I needed to be, you know, in essence, held accountable. And the way that worked is you only got paid for the number of hours that were on the job. So we got held very accountable in how much we were paid to do that job. But I think it's a great example of, you know, it's not just having the autonomy to make the decisions important, but you're also held accountable to execute on it. And in that case, you know, we did not execute well, which meant it came out of our paycheck. In essence, or reduced our paycheck, but also the quality was poor. And so, you know, the company got a bad name for the job we did, you know, and left a bad taste in the mouth of the customer, which didn't work. And so that's a lesson, you know, that I've taken that's, you know, really ties both sides of this together. But again, fast forward 30 years, it took, you know, feedback from other leaders of ours that saw that, yes, we were giving autonomy, but not holding people accountable for the execution of that, really to tie those two things together and say, hey, this is part of the same thing and we need to do that.
And I think the concept of radical autonomy in our organization ties a lot of things together. So I think it ties collaboration and teamwork together, as team is part of our core values, that we want to be able to say you have flexibility and autonomy to make certain decisions, but you still need to collaborate and you still need to do what's in the best interest of the team. I think it also ties together the growth opportunities in our organization and provides good language for employees to go forward.
I have nothing further to add to that. Okay. I agree.
So I like the conversation today, just in your openness to hear feedback from our employee population of, hey, I'm not quite sure I understood this message.
Yeah, I think this was an important conversation today because I think it was feedback that came right out of, you know, one of the divisions, one of the EOS conversations. And I just, that was my first thought relative to it, is how great this is that we got some feedback, we got some questions about it. How does it, you know, where it, you know, questioning whether it works in this situation and, you know, is it taking away from our team core value and all of those things. And I think anytime you put out something like this, it takes a lot of conversation. How are you going to operationalize this, you know, in the organization? What are the pros of doing it? You know, what are the shadow sides? What are you trying to avoid? You know, we're trying to scale, you know, we're trying to give our organization an opportunity to grow. If not done well, you know, it could reinforce individual behavior as opposed to team behavior, which we absolutely do not want to do. And so I think it brings it all together to say, you know, this is the standard we want to live by. If we're going to do this effectively, we need to talk to each other. You know, we need to have conversations. This is what we're trying to accomplish. You know, now let's talk through the specifics. There's absolutely best practices out there that people should follow where they don't really have a lot of autonomy to do a job in a certain way. There's other things, you know, that you have tons of autonomy and how you go about it. You want to use that brain power that you have to really do it the most effective way. And then there's also times where we have a best practice and somebody really believes we could improve that best practice. Well, you got to try it. Right. If you're going to make it better, you know, it's not okay just to say we've always done it this way just because it's a best practice, you know, but that takes communication and we've got to talk about it and get to the right spot. You know, so I think like so many other things, it's how does this actually get put in practice? And communication is just, you know, such a key component. And I think the more people that we can get to embrace and take responsibility, you know, for our results, the better off we're going to be.
Agree. Thanks, Bob, for all the conversation today around radical autonomy. The one last thing I'd like to hear from you and have you share with all of our team members is, from your seat as CEO, how you view your role and responsibility on communicating to the organization based around our mission, vision, core values, and what areas you find most important.
Yeah. Thanks for that question. Because honestly, I think maybe that's in level of importance is the most important thing I do for the organization. You know, I have some specific tasks, you know, that I do and play a role in financing the organization, the balance sheet of the organization, and doing acquisitions. But I think the most important role that I play is communicating, you know, what our mission, vision, and core value is. And the great thing about being a CEO is that you can align those things with how your personal mission, vision, and core values. And that's what I try to do. I think the value of the communications that we're trying to do is it gives me an opportunity to touch a lot of our employees, you know, very quickly, very efficiently. And this is one mechanism that we do it. We do it through podcasts. We do it through written communication. We do it through the annual meetings we do. We do it through the site visits when we're out there. You and I just did 3 site visits, you know, this week. And just like every other, you know, big meeting, you know, we communicate what our mission, vision, and core values are. But the nice thing about the podcast and the written materials is we can touch a high percentage of our people. You know, hopefully a lot are listening and a lot are reading the communication we put out. And we can direct the messages that we really think are important, you know, for the organization to hear. And I think this is an incredibly important message for the organization to hear, because we're trying to be very specific about the mission, vision, and core values that we want to achieve and what we're trying to be. And we're in this phase now where all of a sudden it's not very easy to get that message out to 2,000 employees. Right. You know, this is a new challenge for me. It's not like I, you know, was 10 years old and I was practicing to, you know, get this, you know, these messages out to our workforce. And so we're trying multiple different, you know, methods to communicate it. And the great thing that I see in our organization is there is a high level of alignment, not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, I would encourage our divisions to have their, you know, own little unique things about their culture that's not the same as everybody else. You know, as we talked earlier this week, you know, I encouraged the division to keep, you know, that part, you know, of them that's unique to them. But there's some commonalities that we want to have in every single one. And that's what my job is. You know, my job is to try to get all of our employees to understand, you know, what those most important aspects are of our mission, vision, core values, our culture, to understand what that is and to make sure every employee is hearing that, you know, not once, but a lot of times, you know, so that we get to that, you know, where everybody, you know, is understanding what we're doing. And we've challenged, you know, and then last year at the annual meetings, we challenged a lot of our employees, you know, to know what our mission is, to know what our core values are. And our leadership is taking that seriously and getting the employees to embrace that and really, you know, to live it every day. And we get feedback all the time about the consistency of the message that people from outside of our organization get from us. I'm very proud of that.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time, Bob, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. This is something that I think makes our organization very special. And I know you put a lot of time and energy into communicating and trying to have interaction with every employee. And I think it really makes us a better organization. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Bob and Stacy. If you have questions for Bob, we'd love to hear them and answer them in future podcasts. Feel free to submit them to eopodcast@hb-global.com, and we'll see you next time.